From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
You can roll a Rolo to your pal.
Don't be a dick. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And you're listening. Oh, God.
Busted.
I totally pooched it. And
we are going to talk
about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, it's Monday, April 29th. 2010 in the afternoon.
Yeah, even. Wow. Fancy. The sun's out and everything. This is show 079.
Nope. 080.
Is it? What was it? Oh, that's right. Yep.
Emily,
you did that one. So that's why the last one I had on my computer was 078. And so 079 doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned. But nonetheless, this is show 080.
And we have currently 288 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions.
Hello, minions.
Hello, minions. Thank you to our, and we'll get to this more certainly later, but to our minion special forces.
Yes.
Who came out and helped at PAX this weekend.
Indeed.
Which, oddly enough, is pretty much going to be entirely what we talk about on this podcast
Yeah,
today.
Just to pre-arm you, even maybe even more so than normal, it's going to be mostly a crawling up our own ass, listing stuff we did kind of podcast. So.
Nah, we're not just going to list.
It's not going to be like we're going to sit and discuss some philosophical topic for the next 20 minutes or talk about breakfast cereals.
Or, well, I'm sure there'll be some jumping off points, but the main thing is going to be just the cool stuff and the coolness that was PAX East this weekend.
Yes.
So let's just get right to it.
All right then. So we're at PAX East this weekend. For those of you unfamiliar with what that is, how's that? I'm jumping right in.
Jump.
By the way, my daughter will be walking through the door sometime in the next 10 minutes. So I will have to walk away for about 2 minutes and go feed her some chicken nuggets or something.
And bandage her if she's going to come bursting through like Kool-Aid.
I suppose that's true. I should be at the ready with some salve.
You just need to listen for the, oh yeah,
ointment. As long as nobody shouts, hey, Kool-Aid, in the next 10 minutes, I should be okay. She might actually use the door.
Thousands of people just shouted, hey, Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
you know
you're all too late because it'll have been the future and she'll already have been through the door.
She'll be the Kool-Aid of the past.
Is that a front runner?
That was my first attempt, yes.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll have some more attempts.
Oh, that was a good attempt.
It was a valiant attempt. A for effort, Storm.
A for effort. Was that your attempt?
Yes, it was. It was better than your stupid Kool-Aid one. Wow, we're mean.
We're off to a confrontational start
Yeah,
here.
See, your mouth's not working either, Mr. Stupid Head.
Okay, buddy butt face.
Buddy Buttface is the definite front runner.
I wasn't even trying that.
I know.
Time.
See, that's the trick. Yeah. Anyway, PAX East, for those of you unfamiliar with the concept, is Penny Arcade Expo East. Penny Arcade Expo is a computer gaming convention that was started by
Not just computer gaming.
Well, a gaming convention, especially computer gaming, but certainly not exclusively computer gaming convention. It was originally started in Seattle by Gabe and Tycho, also known as Jerry and Mike,
yes.
The two guys who run Penny Arcade, the webcomic. That's been going for, I don't know, what, 6, 7 years or so in Seattle.
And centuries at this
it's
point.
It's been going on forever. And this past weekend was the inaugural East Coast iteration of said exposition up in Boston at the Heinz Convention Center. And we got to, just as we got to in PAX Seattle last fall, we were invited to perform in one of the two musical concerts therein. Thus, our being there was warranted.
Now, if you're longtime podcast web thing listeners,
if you love us long time,
then you know from podcast 056, I actually looked and saw what podcast it was.
Because you're a nerd.
Indeed, I am. That we No, we talked about it then, so some of this may be a duplication.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and sort of get the gushing part over with now.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And as with many conventions, there's a keynote address, which this year was, again, done by Will Wheaton.
Yes, he did the one in Seattle in 2007, and they asked him to do the one in Boston, the inaugural keynote in Boston this year.
And he struggled a lot very publicly on Twitter, you know, because it was very consuming on topping himself.
A little bit of pressure there.
Just a little bit. And not just because of the usual pressure of a keynote, but that he had to top himself.
Yeah, it was a very, very successful keynote in 2007. And as we all know, sequels very rarely, if ever, exceed or even meet the quality of those from which they sprang.
And in this case, I felt he really hit it out of the park.
He pretty much did the Godfather 2 of keynotes, I think.
Indeed. His words were with me the entire weekend and even today. And so, Paul, I don't know what you were going to start with, but for me, the gushing come down to the two words, welcome home.
Yeah.
And you know, the rest of the keynote followed in on that, but that it really felt, I mean, this was only the second time we've been there, but that it was the same vibe, even though it was a different city, and we were no longer nervous about, you know, oh gosh, are we going to belong here? And it just felt like this really comfortable place to be with all of these awesome people there, not just the organizers,
mm-hmm.
And certainly, you know, the enforcers, but every attendee that you ran into, just, you could tell everybody was just having the time of their life and everyone would say so.
Yep.
So it felt like the largest den in the world.
now that's a front runner too. I would love to see the largest den in the world.
Well, you've been there.
The question is, though, if you were to build the largest den in the world, would you put in one really huge comfortable reading chair or like thousands of individual comfortable reading chairs?
Well, that was the beautiful thing is they actually had throughout the convention center in Boston, these basically beanbags called sumos.
Yep.
And that would be, to me, the largest den in the world. It would be this big place. Basically, you can just stop, drop, and slack.
Yep. Or sit and play your Nintendo DS or...
Or nap.
Nap or whatever, yeah.
Snack, game.
It was pretty cool.
So that's my initial gushing volley right there.
Sure. Yeah, Will absolutely hit it out of the park. And he actually even mentioned in a Twitter... he said it before I got a chance to, so I was mad at him. Those of you who've been to our shows know that there is a sort of a community vibe of sorts, some places more than others, but there's always sort of a general feeling that the audiences tend to be pretty geeky. They tend to be smarter than the average bear, and they tend to really enjoy participating.
Yep.
It's sort of like a big grown-up episode of Rumper Room.
Oh yeah.
With computer games.
Yeah.
excuse me. And in our song Frogger, the Frogger musical, the third movement is the big rousing finale about how we finally made it to the end of our journey. And the lyric that gets repeated 8 or 9 or 10 times at the end of it is, "And now I'm home," and it's the big everybody waves along and sings along, and it's this this whole wonderful moment, which we freely admit we kind of designed with PAX in mind. We wrote the song and debuted it at last year's PAX Seattle and did it again this time around. And as Will mentioned, it was very touching and felt appropriate singing "And Now I'm Home," because that's really kind of what it felt like. He said a similar thing in his keynote about how, you know, here's all these people who share a similar enthusiasm and are, you know, amongst friends and with all these people who feel the same way. You don't have to be ashamed. Like, here's all these grown-ups who play video games or Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
You're just able to freely enjoy the things that you enjoy. And it really did, as you say, feel like home. And I got almost a little misty while we were doing that part of the song.
Me too.
because, you know, just seeing, I think they estimated there was 4,000 to 5,000 people in the room, and just seeing 4,000 to 5,000 people, A, singing along to your own music, which is awesome.
Yep.
And just expressing this wonderful, I hate to say it, it's kind of cheesy, this wonderful sort of joyous feeling.
Yep.
It really, you know, I wish everyone could experience that at least once in their lives.
It was very much like being at a family reunion of the family of your choosing, you know?
Right, right.
Like, you love your family, you know? But to have all these different generations of people who do different types of gaming, and that there's this enough of a center to it all to give it that feeling was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And there are, of course, 80 kabillion people to thank. We won't list off a litany of people to thank. I will reiterate Storm's thanks to our merch volunteers, the 6 or 7 of you who came out to help sell our stuff all weekend. We really appreciate that. All of the enforcers, which is what the name of the PAX volunteers are called. They're a special breed of people. They're just there to help you out and to get you anything you need and to generally be supportive without being intrusive. And their rule number one, also known as Wheaton's Law, because he came up with it, was don't be a dick. And that's they help set the tone for everyone
yeah.
for the entire weekend.
To a person, they saved our bacon a number of times when we had, you know, things we forgot or they were missing, and they mm-hmm. always made it better fast.
Yep. I mean, they're still helping out now. I actually got an email a couple hours ago. I had left our melodica there in the performance hall, and one of them is going to bring it to us next weekend when we're in New York.
And it's not just because we're artists. Like, if you're an attendee there, yeah, you get the same level of courtesy and not being a dickness,
yeah.
which is really different than many other events where yes. there's almost an adversarial relationship between the people who run it
yeah,
and the people who attend.
Yeah, corralling people. And
yeah, it's not like that at all.
Yeah. So our hats are off to Jerry and Mike and Robert Koo, who is sort
yeah.
of the man who really, he's the great and powerful Oz.
Basically. He's the man who buys the carpet.
Yeah, he's the man who buys the carpet. He knows what that means. I'm sure they ran into some problems. It was the first time around in a new venue, and I have to believe there were issues they had to deal with, and maybe they weren't perfectly pleased with it. But they certainly did a great job, at least as far as everything we could see, of making it seem like everything was running smoothly. And as far as we could tell, and all of our experience, everything could not have gone better for us. So
the two minute mark was 2 minutes ago.
Yes. Oh, and there's my daughter bellowing up at me. So you talk until I get back.
Oh, yeah. I'll go ahead. Paul might repeat this later, but it's something that I'm sure a lot of you folks can identify with. Sort of one of the big highlights, obviously, aside from the performance and just the general being there, was they had this whole room of classic arcade games set up. And we were lucky enough to be able to get in there before they opened it up with Will and just go through and play these games. And they had 80s music blasting. And granted, it was a high ceiling, so you can only do so much, but it felt very much like back when we were younger and even, you know, mostly teenage years, when you stepped into an arcade and just blasted with this full-on sensation. And they had games like, of course, they had the classic Space Invaders and on up through. They had a Sinistar machine, which is a big favorite. Of course, they didn't have everything, but it was just, I think we all felt like we were 13 years old as we just ran from machine to machine,
and
playing them,
I'm
watching
back.
Each other
miss
play.
Me? Hello.
And learning a thing or two along the way.
Hello.
See, without Paul here to interject,
hello.
I feel like such a douchebag.
Wow, I totally
anyway,
can't hear Storm.
I'm sure Paul will
he's
comment a little
right
bit
now.
About that more.
I seem to have lost
another big
Skype
highlight, which we'll
recording.
Go over again, so I'm sure, was during Jonathan's set. One of the other bands is Metroid Metal, who you can imagine is a band that covers in metal style the music of Metroid. Right. So, they had approached Jonathan about backing him up for a song, and Jonathan saw that would be a good thing, and we ended up doing 5 songs backed.
Calling
oh, hold
back.
On. I need to go grab Paul. It seems he's disconnected from the Skype. Hold on. Bear with me. It's ringing.
I switch computers.
It's still ringing.
So much technology.
It's still ringing.
It's ridiculous. Hello, Paul. Are you
there? There you are. Are you still recording?
I've been recording the whole time.
As have I. I don't know what the hell happened there.
Wow, that's weird. Well, I talked about playing the classic arcade games with Will.
Awesome.
And I was just starting to talk about rocking out with Joko and Metroid Metal.
Yes. Okay. As you were then.
Let's jump back. Basically, I just talked about how great it was to be 13 years old again.
Yes.
Playing these games and with Will and just having a great time.
Yep. Yeah.
So if there's,
I have nothing to add there. Really, we played. Well, you told him we played Sinistar, right? That was the first thing we all gravitated straight to.
I did mention Sinistar, the Dragon's Lair. I didn't mention that.
Yeah, I got to once again feel the sweet scent of failure, as I was never any good at that game. I know you finished it in your youth.
I did. If you ever saw the movie The Last Starfighter, which indeed has a little Will Wheaton in it. There's this big cheesy scene towards the end where the protagonist, who's this teenager who all he's good at is video games, the whole town gathers around to watch him defeat this game, and it's this huge, exciting thing. Or I guess it was closer to, I don't remember when it was in the
movie.
Closer
to the beginning. But
yeah, closer
okay.
to the beginning. And it's so cheesy because, you know, grandpa's there in addition to his friends and neighbors. Like when we were in teenagers that anybody except us gave a damn, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
But when I defeated Dragon's Lair, it was like that. It was at our the local convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been there for a month, and everybody had been playing it. And it was expensive to play. Like, games were usually a quarter. Dragon's Lair was 50 cents.
Yep.
And I had a whole bucket full of bar mitzvah money at the time. And I could have bought investments and be retired today, probably.
Yeah, if you had invested wisely your $17 in
right,
quarters.
If I'd put it in Microsoft instead of Dragon's Lair.
Yep.
But I got the moment where everybody was gathered around because I'd been playing it for a while and folks knew what that meant. And the moment when I slew the dragon and the princess gave me the peck on the cheek, just mm-hmm. everybody was cheering. And I
Yay!
swear to God, I had an orgasm.
Yeah. And that was the story of Storm's first orgasm.
That's right. And last. Not true.
Okay, he's had plenty of orgasms.
I've had plenty, yes. And I've had plenty of orgasms, I think, is up there as well. Anyway, so that's...
Yes.
We'll go ahead and button
and
that up.
So we got to rock out with Metroid Metal and Jonathan as part of his set. I don't know how much you talked about that.
Just describing how it came about and how... Actually, it was just at the part with how awesome it was to be in front of this huge rock sound, drums, bass, guitar,
mm-hmm.
And being able to do some of Jonathan's songs in a similar way to how they were recorded.
Yeah.
I love the way we do, you know, the songs with Jonathan and how he does them by himself. But there's a whole other level when you have that power behind
yep.
you.
And we don't get to sing in a band very often, in a band with instruments and stuff. So it's pretty damn cool. I had an orgasm, my first singing with Metroid Metal. Yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. They bring the orgasm. That's for sure.
Yeah. And we did a little collaboration thing with MC Frontlot.
Well, two collaborations.
Well, I was building up to the other one.
Sure.
As the last one, yeah. MC Frontlot came out. For one of our songs. Hopefully the video of that will... I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want to spoil it for people because it was really cool. But look for... he actually came out for our Mother's Day song. So if you keep an eye
yes.
on YouTube for Paul and Storm PAX East 2010 Mother's Day, hopefully it will show up soon enough. It was really pretty great. And then, of course, there was...
Well, we were also out during his set on Friday night.
That's true. That is true.
With his song Diseases of Yours, speaking about rocking out.
Yep.
We got to jump around like Muppets during that song and sing some harmonies. So that
yep.
was great.
Yep. And I totally got to wear my Axe Cop t-shirt. I was very happy about that. I know we were Twittering mm-hmm. about our, we had the dilemma of what cool geeky shirts to bring and to wear and when. which is a new worry for me. You know, I'm not usually much of a fashionable guy. But, you know, you had to sort of to figure out what was going to have the right impact at what point. Yeah, I was very psyched to wear my Axe Cop shirt because I felt like I was sort of out ahead of a curve for once, which is not usually our MO.
Now, we're usually towards the front end, but certainly not at the ground floor zero place.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, and that, of course, speaking of being on the leading edge of a movement, brings us, I suppose, to our last our biggest collaboration, at least as far as we're concerned. Certainly the thing that we were most anticipating for the entire weekend of PAX.
Yeah.
You can go from here if you want.
Oh, sure, sure. So when we were in Seattle just a few weeks ago with Jonathan, we saw a video while we were at Archie McPhee, the novelty item store, that was just the oddest thing, and which at the time only had a few thousand views, yeah, at least the version we saw. The video that is now known as Trololo.
Or also occasionally I've seen it as Russian Rickroll.
Yes, where it is from the 60s or 70s, and it's this Russian singer who is apparently this national treasure guy, and he sings this song that does not have words, and it's just very sing-songy, and he sort of has this very artificial, freaky, spooky smile on his face.
Yeah, and it's sort of very poorly lip-synced. And he's on a set that looks like it's sort of a reject from what's the word I'm looking for?
Lawrence Welk.
Yeah, Lawrence Welk show. It has that sort of, it has like a Russian Lawrence Welk-y vibe to it.
Very clearly from some kind of variety show. And, you know, we know now that the lyrics, it's all about, you know, I'm very happy because I've come home, and that's why he's happy. But without knowing that, it's just creepy.
Yeah, it's just sort of odd and strange, and it's, you know, state-sponsored pop music from the Soviet Union in the early 70s or late 60s.
And he's got this weird Soviet helmet hair and this very odd suit and tie. Not odd, but just
we'll post a link to the original video on the site for this podcast, so you know what we're talking about. And go ahead.
We had been looking for something fun and unique to do for PAX. We had one thing planned, and it sort of didn't pan out for us. And we joked when we saw the video, oh, I guess we know what we're going to do for PAX. And lo and behold, it started to gain strength as a meme. And we decided, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do a live Russian Rickroll Trololo for PAX.
So we'll also post a link to a video or two of this, but the short version is Storm and I and Will Wheaton recreated live that video wearing some thrift store brown suits and three of what must be the ugliest wigs ever created for any costume anywhere. They were
how much did you spend on
all of the thrifts, not counting the wigs? Will found those in a party store. I don't know how much he spent on them, hopefully not much, but like three different jackets, about six different ties, and a shirt for Will, all told was $19.
Wow.
And I guarantee you, like, old Jewish men died in each of the three jackets we found.
My jacket is actually kind of nice. I'm keeping it.
Yeah. I thought you sort of cut off there. I thought you said you're going to sleep in it.
Oh, no. Keep it. I might sleep in it. I might sleep with it. That's how nice it is.
Yeah. But anyway, so look for that video. It was it was interesting because, you know, the video has been gaining viewer. It has been steadily gaining viewership, and you see it cited in more and more places. It was well known enough that, from what we can tell, judging from the reaction from the stage, felt like about half the audience knew what was going on and got it. And they were busy explaining it to the other half of the audience while we were doing it, who were nonetheless seemed to be enjoying it because it was so strange and random.
In fact, I recall right after we came off, there was a very loud murmur, like more like a it wasn't even a murmur. It was so loud. Yeah. That I thought immediately, wow, we were a little bit ahead of the curve for this, but not too much.
And I don't know. I'd be interested to see if there's been sort of an echo spike on Trololo.
Yeah.
Just from people who've picked up on it from PAX.
It'd be nice. So that was a lot of fun, thinking of it, choreographing it, putting it together, giggling like school children pretty much the entire time we were working it out. So that was fun. And it was great meeting the hundreds and hundreds of people who came by over the course of the weekend. It's not often we get to feel like rock stars.
Yeah.
Luckily, PAX happens twice a year now, so at least twice a year we sort of at least get a taste of that. Certainly not to the degree that Will does. It is a thing to behold. I believe last year's PAX we might have called him King of PAX. This year we called him Prince of PAX. Just how it somehow felt a little more messianic.
Oh yeah.
And he really is just absolutely the most beloved person in the building, I think.
He does embody, he has sort of crystallized PAX with both the keynote speeches now.
Yeah.
And they have like these signing areas set up, like they do at conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how Will does it. Like, we were there pretty much all day yesterday, greeting people, selling stuff, saying hi, and all of that. Will, basically, when he wasn't specifically doing something, he was there, mm-hmm. and meeting people, and it was an almost constant stream line of people that were just so pleased to meet him for a moment.
Yep.
And that would just exhaust me, I don't know how he does it. I'm just going to say that.
Yep. Hang on a second. I have to take my headset off and see if someone's calling me.
Which is a possibility.
They do not appear to be, so I will put my headset back on. So that was more or less the PAX experience. I can't really think of any, other than, of course, we got to sing with Jonathan, which is always fun. And it's especially neat to see him in front of a crowd that big.
Yeah.
There's just some, it was like riding a big happy wave is what it was.
I have a few short little observations.
Sure, go to town.
One, because of the nature of what we were doing, and we were much better known at this PAX than the last time, that we didn't have a ton of time. Actually surprised that we never really had a proper meal. We kind of snacked our way through PAX for the most part.
Yeah, the only sit-down meal I can think of we had on sort of Friday late afternoon, early evening, before things had really cranked up.
With the rock band folks.
Yeah.
And that was really it. And I didn't drink much. I'd sort of been looking forward to doing tweeting as Drunk Storm, but I never caught a buzz to even be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Which was nice, and being just totally exhausted at the end of each night. The hotel, I want to mention that a little bit, if only for the half dozen other fans of the show Supernatural.
Uh-huh.
That might listen to the podcast. It's sort of an ongoing joke on that show that it's these two brothers and they hunt ghosts and monsters and things, and they travel around the country as they do so. And in most episodes, they're staying at these really sort of old cheesy hotels, and the sets that I don't know if they're real hotels that they find or if they're just sound stages.
Hey, we totally just lost Storm again.
What? I'm here.
He's talking about Supernatural and hotels.
Oh, I thought
I
you
have
meant
to switch my computer because I'm running Skype on my PC and recording on my Mac.
Well, I'll wait for Paul since he's having technology issues.
Yep.
This is interesting.
I'm going to try calling him back.
I see. He's lost the Skype connection. Hold on. We're probably both talking right now. I don't think we should edit this at all. I think we should leave it just how it is. Paul's describing how he's calling me, and
again.
I answer. Hello. Hello?
Hello.
You there?
Wow.
Paulie,
you there? I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Paul. I can hear you. Call me on the regular phone. I'd tell you that.
You'd think after 80 shows, we would have this nailed down.
I would tell you that if you could hear me. I'm going to call you on the regular
Storm,
phone.
Storm, can you check to see if your headset is properly plugged in? Because mine appears to be.
It's totally plugged in.
And I have
in.
A connection. I have
well,
no idea
fine.
If you can hear me.
I can, and I'm calling
well,
you.
Well, anyway, while I continue to call him up again, Okay. Yeah, well, the hotel was, I guess, like Supernatural or something. Well, I don't know. I don't watch that show.
Now you're calling me on Skype again.
I have been watching the first season of Lost.
Do you know that I'm calling you on a regular phone? I wonder.
Storm's Skype is ringing again.
Oh, you there? Hello?
And is still ringing.
Oh,
and assuming this doesn't work,
Sean?
I'm going to go get a phone. Yeah, hey, this is
Storm.
Totally still not working. I'm going to go get a phone and call him analog on the phone. So
on,
get ready to listen to about 40 seconds of silence from me.
Cool. Okay, now it's happening. Paul has gone away from his computer and his daughter is bringing the phone to him, I think. Wow, this must be so exciting for all of you. You there, Paul?
Yeah, you beat me. You beat the punch. I was just going to get the phone and my daughter's yelling at me, "Here's Storm."
I could hear you the whole time, and I've been, I think it'll be very entertaining. We should not edit this.
No,
this
not
is,
at all.
This is part of the experience.
This is captivating.
Okay, folks, hang with us. Paul now has the phone.
I have the phone. I've still been recording this entire time.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, where were we then? Are you back in front?
You were talking about Supernatural and shit, and...
Gotcha. I thought you were saying that you've lost Storm as in I'm talking about Supernatural again.
No. I actually lost being able to hear you at all.
Okay.
The first time I completely lost the connection, and the other two times I had a connection but couldn't hear you. So I don't know what the hell's going on. Come on, Verizon. Fios, stop screwing up.
That's right. We're both Fios.
We're both big fans of the Fios, or at least I was until right now.
Oh, I'm still a big fan. It's awesome, except for the occasional pooch Skype.
Yeah, this is true.
Okay, so...
So we're at, like, the 31-minute mark. So did you have any other little observations for...
The point with the hotel thing...
Oh, okay.
Was that the brothers end up in these really cheesy hotels that are... I don't know if they're real hotels or sound stages, but that they're sort of laughably dated. And... That's where we stayed, which was hysterical. Like, it was only like a block from the convention center. But I felt like we had stepped back in time.
Were you expecting that would you like check for demons under the bed before you went to sleep or anything?
I do that anymore anyway. I'm very suspicious of all people that they may be demons or angels who frankly can be just as nasty if you know the show. And I guess that's all I got.
Okay.
And I think that's plenty.
Yeah, that's plenty because we gave them our breakdown of Wootstock. Everybody got to hear our horrible technical issues unedited. What more do you want out of a podcast for free?
And it wasn't just a listing. I think we captured the experience and talked about some random crap as well.
We talked about the world's largest den.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, where are we going to be? What's happening? What's going on? What's the poop?
Oh, my God,
what's the
skinny? Look. Let's see. We are going to be, what the hell month is it? Almost April. We're going to be in New York City for two dates on April 2nd and 3rd at the Highline Ballroom with Jonathan Colton. We have pretty much the rest of the month of April off. Well, I mean, not that we're not working. We're just not gigging.
Right. We'll be making awesome for you.
Yes. We will have... first of all, we'll have a show of our own in San Francisco on Thursday, May 6th at the Swedish American Hall with special guests. We still can't officially announce any yet, but there will be guests and they will be special. Then we have Wootstock Seattle on Friday the 7th, Wootstock Portland on the 8th of May. And then we don't have all the details on this, but it is official enough. I believe we can announce on Tuesday, May 11th, we're going to be in Los Angeles at Largo for a taping of Chris Hardwick's Nerdist podcast. And we're going to be there, and I believe Mike Furman, also known as Firm from Hard and Firm, will be there. We'll be talking and playing tunes and recording in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
All kinds of cool crap is going to go down.
It's going to be... I just love those guys. So, like, just the fact that we actually will be able to hang out with them, you know.
Yeah, and to be able to like, do it on a stage...
Exactly.
A podcast. That's pretty sweet. We have some more shows, brand new shows coming up with Jonathan Colton in Richmond, Virginia and Raleigh in the middle of May, and also three dates in Canada in Montreal, Ottawa and Toronto in late May. You can check our website, paulandstorm.com,
For all of the information on that. Not to mention the other two Wootstocks coming up, those, of course, being the 6th of June at Park West in Chicago and the 7th of June in Minneapolis at the Guthrie Theater. Many guests being announced for those. There are very few tickets left for the Minneapolis Wootstock, so jump on that shit right now.
You can also find out on the website, all the details for the shows. We're going to have the new merchandise, including the brand new Do You Like Star Wars CD? And the, I believe we're going to have the thumb drive and maybe the new T-shirt.
Yep. They'll all be up within the next week or so. So
so don't go yet. So go in about a week.
Yeah.
Also, check out joining the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. Join the ranks, the proud, the few, and the many are to come.
The increasing, though.
Yes.
Few, but the increasingly less few.
Correct. Who know that I'm Storm.
And they would definitely know that I am Paul.
And that we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Can you hear me now?
Go do things.